Show. Check out our website, TheRickSmithShow.com. So kind of surprised. I was expecting a guilty verdict right around lunchtime, home by dinner time, all wrapped up and done. Evidently not. In fact, the big surpriser of the day evidently is the jury's asked for the definition of reasonable doubt. So could Manafort walk? Could this be a situation where they bought the no defense of it was Gates doing, it was him? I don't know. Here to share some thoughts is Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So what are we thinking? I mean, I'll tell you, I was thinking, you know, by noon, I have a nice little lunch, you know, home by dinner, over, done with.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when I look at these things, having been through the justice system, you know, myself, right up front and personal, I look at these things, and you try to, you look at cases much more differently over the years when you've been, you know, been through something. And in certain cases I look at and I'm like, okay, that one's going down. And then the other ones I'm like, oh, wait a minute, especially if they're political cases. You know, of what like the Menendez case.
Right.
I followed that one. And there were certain things that they said, oh, Menendez did this. You know, he was a friend of the guy for 20 years, you know. So having said that, I'm watching this one. I'm like, okay, he's going to be toast on certain things that maybe yet still is. I don't know. But some weird stuff's going down because, yes, they want to know, you know, definition beyond reasonable doubt. But there's another thing that they have done, which is absolutely mind-boggling. They had four during this trial because it was what was he paid? $60 million, right?
Something like that.
Okay. Then there was offshore accounts in Cyprus. There were offshore accounts over here. Money was moved there. Manafort did this. Gates did that. So the jurors asked a detailed question, is someone required to file an FBAR, a foreign bank account report, if you have less than 50% of the account and you don't have signature authority, but you do have authority to direct disbursement of funds? So that question they asked, that's relating to what Gates had a percentage of, what Manafort had a percentage of, who could disperse a fund versus who could authorize a fund. So obviously they're looking at what are the split hairs difference between how Gates functioned in the organization and how Manafort functioned, you know, for who's at blame, you know.
Right.
And also this is the one that is, if I were a prosecutor, I would be alarmed by this one because they've asked about reasonable doubt, right?
Right.
Okay, jurors also signaled they feel a bit swamped because they have nearly 400 exhibits from the two-week trial. In 14 days, they had 400 exhibits. They asked for an index linking those exhibits to the individual counts in the indictment. Now, what that means is if you have 18-count indictments, let's make it 20. Let's round this thing off for purposes, right? 20. Okay, were there 50 allegations that were linked to exhibit number one? Or were there five allegations linked to Exhibit 1? There's 400 exhibits. So, you know, technically there could have been 20 per exhibit, and there's 400 exhibits. So now they want an index saying this charge was linked to that exhibit you saw that was number 2.
Right.
And this one's linked to that. All right. The judge declined, telling them, again, rely on your own recollection.
Wow.
Okay. So I'll ask a question of you. You know, last I do your shows on Mondays and Thursdays, what did we talk? This is Thursday. What did we talk about last Thursday?
No clue.
There you go.
No, I'd have to check my notes. I know I have notes
okay.
I can go back to.
All right.
Just off the top of my head, I can't tell you what we talked
right.
about.
Right. Me neither. Yeah, I can go back to my notes. They don't have notes. That's my point. They don't have notes on 400 exhibits. So you start to look at that. I don't know what's going to happen here.
No, I'm actually fairly shocked, and it's one of these things where maybe it was so complicated for the average mm-hmm. person that, you know, they're just kind of looking for an out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Or maybe hey, there's the 12th angry juror there. You know.
Well, I mean, and who's going? You know, I don't want to quarterback too much here, but. You know, maybe this is one of those things where they, you know, the prosecution, if it doesn't end up well, did too much.
Yeah.
and should have maybe thrown a bit of this out and, you know, stick with the Cypress bank account that was never logged in, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, keep it simple, stupid. Yeah, I mean, and we'll find out. I mean, I started paying attention a little bit this afternoon. I'm going, really? This is the direction it's going?
Yeah.
This is what money will get you. I mean, you know, there's part of me that goes, you know, who knows? We're talking about people who are in really super powerful positions. You know, who knows what happens? Then again, this could be me just watching too many bad Hollywood movies.
Well, and it could be me seeing these things happen too many times.
As well, yeah. But we'll see. Okay. I'm still hoping justice will prevail. But you know, it's kind of scary to me that, you know, we've moved from when I grew up. You know, and I was just telling somebody this today. You know, my mother, it didn't matter if I did it or not. In fact, you know, a friend of mine and I, when we were like 9 years old, he got caught stealing in a store, and my mother beat me senseless. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I didn't do it. She goes, you were there. That was enough for guilt. And we've gone from that, from when I was a kid, that was it. That was enough. You were there. To now we're splitting hairs over, well, what percentage of it, of the illegal act, did you actually do?
Because they were illegal acts. Make no bones
exactly.
about it. They were illegal acts. They didn't file, $60 million worth of things or whatever.
Exactly. Know? I mean, you know, so to say, well, he was only half wrong in the illegal act. Really? Are we going to split that hair? I don't know. It's just crazy. Let's move on. Evidently, 350 newspapers have responded to the Trump's attacks with editorials. What's going on there?
Well, you know, it's a concentrated effort started by the Boston Globe to have newspapers across the country same day respond. Each newspaper, you know, could take its own tact. Some said that we shouldn't have to be doing this in a democracy, and, you know, others directly hit the president more, and some said, you know, this is why we function as the press. But it was an effort to kind of have a cohesive, you know, information, you know, across the country. I think it was a pushback as a result of the enemy of the state.
Yeah.
Of the state. Yeah, I think it's a pushback. That about crossed all the lines for them. The fake news, that's one thing, and bias reporting is another. The White House response was interesting, that they are, what did they call them? Political, they're like partisan or something is what they are.
Well, of course. I mean, but they believe every press, that anyone who says anything bad about them is partisan. You're the enemy of the people if you report my words accurately.
Yeah,
I mean,
so, I don't know how much impact it'll have, but, you know, obviously they wanted to do it.
You know, like today, somebody sent me a clip. You know how they put those mashup clips together of a whole bunch of, you know, different clips back to back. And it was from, you know, the Trump campaign. It was from Donald J. Trump's Facebook page. And it was a whole mashup of Omarosa saying nice things about Trump. You know, give me a choo-choo if you Donald Trump and la, la, and all this nonsense. And she's saying, you know, he's going to be the greatest thing ever. And then at the end, there's a tagline. Did you forget about these tapes? And I'm going, boy, it sure must be nice to not have anything else to do than to spend time, energy, and resource on this pie fight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just crazy. Let's move on. Pennsylvania, the center of Catholicism right now, has the Vatican responded to what's going on here?
Not that I know of, and as of, you know, time here coming on your show, I'm in shock actually, because there are 1,000 different, you know, items listed on here that are horrific, and people and incidences and page after page after page. And it went through the grand jury, and why the church is not responding is beyond me. I mean, you at least have to respond. You know, if this was one or two allegations, those are argued out. I understand that. These are endless. And the church has got to say something, you know, out of the Vatican about, you know, they're concerned, they're going to look into it, they, you know, they're alarmed, that, you know, something, anything. They have said nothing, which is...
But the thing is, this is nothing new. I mean, I read this stuff and I'm going, you know, it's horrible, it's horrific, but it's not surprising. And look, I grew up going to Catholic school.
You know,
I was, in fact, you know, we were in the poorest parish in the diocese in Cuyahoga County. up in Cleveland. And, you know, ours was a swinging door parish, I used to call it, because at any given time we could have 10 priests and no one knew any idea why they were going through. But we were the place where that they would go through to go to somewhere else. They'd get in trouble for something and they would be at our parish for a while and then out the door. And I often, even as a kid, I'm wondering, you know, this kind of instability, this kind of craziness, there's got to be something to it. Even as a kid, we heard the rumors, you know, that the priests were diddling the little boys and all of that. In fact, my mother told me, you know, don't go anywhere with a priest. I loved my mother. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we've known this for, you know, how long has it been since I've been in second, third, fourth grade? I mean, 40 years. So to me, this isn't surprising, but it is heartbreaking.
Well, I mean, I was raised at 12 years Catholic school. I was an altar boy, and we had no incidences of anything. We had the same priest for 35 years, you know, Father Metzger, Father Ralph Salcicchia, because we were an Italian, 85% Italian city, so we had somebody associated with the Vatican for Bitly there. And we had the same priests and the same this and the same that, and we never had incidences. Then later on, I find out from a girl I knew that she had a situation with one of the priests and she didn't talk about it till she was 40. But when we were in in high school together, but beyond that, there was nothing. And then all these stories started coming out. And then at one point in time, you know, the Pope was addressing this, and they're horrific. Then this comes out, and there's silence. I mean, this is one of the bigger ones of all of modern times here.
Well, this could break them. I mean, you know,
this is huge.
This is a lot of money, and you know, between the Catholics and their money. I know it's a horrible thing to say. I was an altar boy for a very short period of time, as well, until I got thrown off. I used to have to do 5:30 in the morning mass during the school week, so it meant I had to get there at 5 a.m. And it would never fail that the three old ladies who showed up for that 5:30 mass, and the only reason they had it was for these three, that
right.
They would sit in the front row and they would fall asleep about halfway through. So I would ring the bells to wake them up. And the priest was never thrilled with that.
I went to Catholic school when they used to take if you didn't type fast enough. I am actually thankful for what I'm about to say. I said it yesterday. If you didn't type fast enough, Sister Rose Angeline hit your knuckles with a ruler.
Yeah.
And I did my news today. Yesterday, I swear I was thinking about this. I did my news today. I'm like, thank you, sister.
Yeah.
You know, for the broken knuckles.
You're grateful for the beating. Okay.
I can type faster, yes.
My mother was left-handed, taught me to write left-handed. And the nun, you know, Sister Mary.
Oh, they wouldn't let you.
Sister Mary, I hate every boy in the school. You know, she literally beat it out of me to where I can't write worth a damn with either hand. So, yeah, thanks to her. In fact, one of the other things, if Sister Mary St. Leo, she was nuts. You know, I often said if I needed a bodyguard, I'd hire her. But if you screwed up and you were one of the boys, she used to make you kneel on hard peas and hold Bibles out to your sides. And her theory was, if you're going to be stupid, you should at least be strong enough to work for a living. So I think there was logic there. I just don't really understand it. So there you go. Let's move on. Cuomo in trouble.
Yeah, he made a dumb statement. You know, America never was great. And he was attacked by, his opponent, that he was trying to act like, quote, a progressive. And, you know, it's one of those things. He said it. I don't know if he's made a statement yet.
Yeah, it's kind of stupid.
But he got hit by both sides. The best thing for him to do is just clarify what he said or, you know, whatever he wants to do, and then keep moving on with it.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to hurt him. I don't see Cynthia Nixon as someone who's going to be able to take him out.
Right.
But, you know, we'll see.
Right.
We will see. And finally, the passing of Aretha Franklin. Sad day.
Yeah, you know, I Googled some wiki on her. Of course, I like Aretha Franklin. I think she's done a lot of great things. She's just inspiring, makes you feel good, you know, Queen of Soul. And I didn't realize this, but now she was born down in Tennessee, because I did a show today down in Memphis. She was born there. And as a result of this, they're trying to get her girlhood home restored. Then her mother moved her to Detroit, and her mother passed away, and her grandmother Rachel and Mahalia Jackson helped raise her. I had no idea. Mahalia Jackson.
Yeah, wow.
Maybe some of the singing rubbed off, you know, from Mahalia.
Well, and that's how you got into the, you know, to the Motown, to that scene probably.
Yeah, right. So just a, you know, a great, great woman. I mean, she's an icon.
Yeah, my oldest daughter, who's 16, she, you know, I said, you know, Aretha, we were having lunch today, and I heard it on the radio, and she's like, who's that? I go, you know, I started listing off a bunch of songs and stuff. She goes, no. I go, you remember the wife in the Blues Brothers at the diner? Oh yeah, I like her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sad stuff.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, I thought she was older. 76 didn't seem that old to me.
That's not that old these days.
There you go. Bob, I appreciate the time, man. Always great talking with you.
Rick. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Our good friend Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.